Following is a talk given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on March 5, 1995 in Sridhar, Mayapur. The talk was given during the Sri Navadvip Mandal Parikrama at the location of Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur's house in Gojramdweep.
And there is also mention about Surabhi cow. Just down the, about 100 meters further down, we'll be going there, is the Surabhi Kunja. So Bhaktivinod Thakur, he established that as the headquarters of his Namahatta movement. He was preaching by establishing Namahattas all over eastern India. We found a list where there was about at least 500 Namahattas listed. And we don't know whether that's the last list or the middle, because we only had a few. We haven't got all the publications about Namahatta he made. But it was something very expanded. Even to this day, there are still some Namahattas going on in Midnapur, which were established by Bhaktivinod Thakur. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarai Thakur made temples, and Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur made Namahattas. And Prabhupada, he has both temples and Namahattas. The temples are important as a base. The Namahattas that are still going from the time of Bhaktivinod Thakur are those that have temples, because the temples are still there. So it's a focus. So we're combining everything. Prabhupada once told us that the secret of success is to please your spiritual master, and through him to please the desires of the previous acharyas, the previous spiritual master. He mentioned how Bhaktivinod Thakur had begged door to door 1 rupee from each person to build the first temple at the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. And how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had built the birthplace temple. He said, I'm also trying to do something to develop Mayapur Dham. And he was so moved that it was the disappearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he said, I'm so grateful for my followers for helping in this confidential service for the previous acharyas. And he started to cry. And he couldn't speak anymore after that. But Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur is very merciful. He knows that if people come to Mayapur Dham, they'll get unlimited blessings. Their Krishna consciousness will get a... It's not just a charge like in a battery recharge. It's like a complete overhaul. Like nowadays you've got these, you know, normal batteries, and then you got alkaline batteries, and then you got nickel cadmium and nickel hydride, and then, you know, the key was better and better batteries. Now it's lithium. This is like changing, you're completely changing your batteries. Because the batteries you have can't even hold that much charge. When you come to Mayapur Dham, you get not only get recharged, you get a whole new set of batteries. So that you can hold the charge longer. And when you go out and preach in the Sankirtan, you can simply remember Mayapur Dham, as Vipra Mukhya Maharaj has explained to us, even in that far distant corner of the world known as Vancouver, far away from Mayapur Dham. They are remembering Mayapur Dham in the park and getting some transcendental ecstasy, because Mayapur Dham is transcendental. So Bhaktivinod Thakur knew this, and he wanted that people would come and get this blessing. So his request was to develop Navadvipa Parikrama, to develop Mayapur Dham. He personally had a vision from his room of a wonderful jeweled, wonderful temple just outside his window. And it's our dream that Prabhupada asked us to build a temple which is more or less outside of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's window. We're praying for his blessings to empower all the devotees and all the pious people around the world, to empower all of us to be able to fulfill this dream, that we can be instruments in the hands of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and other previous acharyas to do this work and get that unlimited blessing. Then one time, Madhur Visa, is he still here? I remember one time at the Kumbh Mela, Madhur Visa was, Prabhupada was lecturing about how in order to be Krishna conscious, one had to go through so many different preliminary activities, so many pious activities, that it meant that if you were already in the Krishna conscious movement, you had already crossed over all the preliminary stages. And when he asked for questions, and Madhur Visa, Prabhu at that time, he asked Prabhupada, I don't see, you know, any qualification in me. He was being very humble. He said, I didn't do any of these things. So how is it that I'm here in the Krishna consciousness movement? He can correct me if I'm wrong. I was like, I had this memory. And then Prabhupada, he said, and I gave you the mercy. I gave you the mercy. I made your good fortune. And at the same time, somehow in the discussion, I don't remember exactly how it all connected, but somebody brought up that what if we bring the President of the United States and the King of England to Mayapur for the opening of the big temple? And then Prabhupada beamed and said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur will personally come and take you by his own hand back to Golok Vrindavan. Also, Srila Prabhupada said another time that if you build a 30-story building in Mayapur, a temple over 30 stories, that also Bhaktivinoda Thakur will be very pleased and he'll take you back. Actually, we don't know what is the result of all these activities. How can even people can't understand, why do you want to build something? I mean, the materialistic people say, why do you want to build something in a village? You could build it in a city, better communication, this, that. There are so many, you know, so-called logical reasons. But we know this is the holy abode of the Lord, and this was the desire of the previous acharyas. And by going on Navrata Parikrama, we can also start to realize that there's very dynamic changes that happen into the spiritual chemistry of the devotees simply by hearing and chanting for this many days in Mahavadip Mayapur Dham, remembering constantly the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and his associates and the acharyas. It has a remarkable effect, a cleansing effect which is incomparable. So that was what Srila Prabhupada said. He said, I simply carry out the orders of my spiritual master. People were also telling him, why do you want to go to the West? The people there are too sinful. They're all materialistic. They'll never change their habits. Lord Chaitanya, when he said the whole world will be delivered, he only meant, you know, the world in those days, the civilized world was only India. I mean, these other countries don't really count. But Srila Prabhupada took literally the words of his guru who told him to preach in the Western countries. He took the words of Lord Chaitanya at face value and he went. And if he hadn't gone, hadn't had that faith, where would we all be today? And that vision actually was inspired by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He actually predicted not only that people would be coming, he predicted that people would come from all over the world here, as was mentioned by Nityaditya Maharaj. And he said that the Indians and all the people from Russia, he mentioned Prussia. In those days there was no Russia, it was Prussia. So Prussia includes Russia and Germany and Poland and all those places. Prussia. And he said France and England and America. And maybe some other places. but those come to mind. He said that they'll be chanting Jai Satchinandan in their own streets with coal and kartal and flakes, and they'll be doing Harinam in their streets of their countries, and they'll be chanting Jai Satchinandan. Then they'll come here to Mayapur Navadip Dam, and they'll be chanting on one side, and the people from India, we call them Arya Brothers, from India, they'll be coming, and the two kirtan parties will join, and they'll start to embrace each other in love, and there'll be no consideration of caste or distinction. And you can imagine, the 1800s, at that time, the British lords going around on their horses and the whole thing, and Indian, you know, were really like the subjected people. And, you know, to think that the British, here someone in England is going to be chanting Harinam and be embracing the Indians without any, and the Indians would be embracing them. You can imagine, like, it's totally inconceivable in that time for anyone but a totally transcendental person to have had that understanding. So he had that vision. He said that movement was spread all over the world. And therefore, we are unlimitedly irreconcilable. We can never repay the debt we have to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to build a massive temple for Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur at his birthplace. And he sent me many times, he went there himself on one or two occasions to discuss with the brother of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur the possibility of building a temple for Bhaktivinoda Thakur at his birthplace. But nothing could be worked out at the time. Prabhupada wanted to see Bhaktivinoda Thakur really glorified. He refused to go to the Bhaktivinoda Thakur temple by the side of the Jog Pit. They constructed that recently in the 1970s. And Prabhupada said that that's offensive, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the revealer of the holy Dham. He's the greatest spiritual master. They should have built a wonderful temple for him, not at the gateway, which is where they put the donor, a temple to the donor of the temple they put by the gate. They should put him inside in an exclusive temple, specially dedicated to his glory. So Prabhupada had a very clear idea. He really wanted to glorify. In fact, he didn't go to the Samadhi temple more than once or twice because he also said that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Samadhi temple wasn't up to the standard. He didn't feel it was big enough. It was big enough. And as many things he had comments, which you don't have to say right now. But I was only bringing the point up that how much Srila Prabhupada was concerned to glorify that going around Navadvip Dham and getting these ideas how really like to make some kind of a detailed master plan when we're going into the 20th century and we consider how one day, you know, all the people in the world are going to be Krishna conscious and they're all going to be coming here to Mayapur. We have to have the holy Dham, you know, the whole parikram path a little better made. All the holy places, you know, fixed up. Guest houses and big kirtan halls and lecture halls in each place. And anyway, it's all a dream, but we should start dreaming now, I thought, and make a plan. And then as time goes on, we can try to realize it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had his visions. By his blessings, everything is possible. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur found the holy places mentioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he secured many of them, and he said, I want my followers to secure all the rest of the places and construct something there. I was a little late in coming because one friend said that they had just found the place where Lord Chaitanya had delivered the crocodile from the other planet. And so he drove me over there to show it to me. It's known as Goradaha, according to them. I had to verify, but we were looking for that place, so I took it, hit the iron while it's hot. So we want to try to uncover all the places Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentioned that are mentioned in the Vedas. And this Godrum is a very important place. Here, one can get devotion for Lord Krishna very easily. This is the place of kirtan. We're all very fortunate to be here today. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wanted this big temple for Lord Chaitanya to be constructed. And that was the order of Srila Prabhupada that we should do it. And all the book distributors all over the world, by their contribution, a certain percentage, I think it's about 12 or 15% or 25%, 25% is going for that big temple construction. So this is all for the pleasure of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the previous acharyas to fulfill the desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and the prediction of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. So people can come here to Mayapur Dham and get the unlimited blessing. As we read today, simply by being in Mayapur Dham, all one's karmas can be immediately wiped out. That possibility is there. One can get so much mercy, can eventually go back to home, back to Godhead. There's so much mercy floating out here. It's simply we have to be expert to take it. It's there. How we can take it is by chanting as purely as possible, associating with the devotees, remembering the pastimes, hearing, chanting, remembering, and so on, all the nine processes of devotional service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was so expert. How he was able to do so many things is he became very expert at what he was doing. So he finished all his material activities in half the time it took other people. In those days, as a district magistrate, he was simultaneously an executive magistrate and a judicial magistrate. So both powers were in him. So he was able to manage the whole district and as well as try murder cases and so many complicated, both duties he had to do. And normally only the British people were getting this position, but they saw him as so qualified that he was one of the few Indians that was given that position of a district magistrate in India. And normally they would be sitting in their office till 4 o'clock doing the work, but he'd finish everything by 12. And he'd give such perfect decisions in the court cases that when the people would appeal it to the high court, he never had any of his judgments overturned. They couldn't find any flaw, legal or in judgment or anything.
Want to say his daily schedule?
Try. Somebody asked about his daily schedule. I don't know the exact figures. You know better? Because I don't remember.
I don't know where to start in the day. It was very similar to Prabhupada's in some respects. But like he took rest in the evening, 9 or 10, 10 o'clock I think, and he got up about 12 or 12:30. And then he'd be writing the whole night. And then he'd start doing his japa around 5 or 6 o'clock after he'd take his morning bath and do his japa. And then he'd be reading Shastra from up until about 6 to 8. If anybody wanted to see him then he was also available to be seen. Otherwise he would just read. So the whole night he'd take some breakfast, and then he'd go by horse and buggy from here to Krishnanagar, which is the district headquarters. It's about 10 kilometers. So that would take almost an hour by horse and buggy, 45 minutes. He'd go there to the district headquarters, then from 10 to 12 or 1 o'clock, in just 3 hours he'd finish the whole day's work. Then he'd come back, or in the afternoon sometimes, he would have to do duties, so go out and inspect or something. Sometimes in the afternoons, he would also do Namhata preaching in the late afternoon. Then he'd come back and he'd spend a couple hours with his family. Then again, I think from 8 to 10, he was reading or something, chanting or whatever, or going out and preaching. It was 2 hours with the family. When he wasn't out preaching. And like that, then again, take rest. Unbelievably tight tempo. I think he took a little prashad and rest maybe for a short time in the afternoon, but I'm not clear on that afternoon schedule.
had lunch, but he didn't take rest.
Maybe he just had lunch and didn't take rest. So he was completely engaged. He was totally transcendental. The last 3 years of his life, he went to Bhakti Kuti in Jagannath Puri. The Lord appeared to him in a dream and told him to go to Jagannath Puri and simply chant by the Samadhi Mandir of Haridas Thakur, and that by his chanting there, he would purify the whole world, and that by doing that, the whole world will become Krishna conscious in the future. And that he'd be able to, that by his chanting there, Krishna conscious would spread to the distant parts of the world. So even while he was doing his so-called nirjana bhajan in separation of the Lord, his intention was totally Goshti Anandi. He was doing it also on the order of the Lord to give the blessing that the whole world would get this benediction of Krishna consciousness. It was like his personal austerity, so that we, the very unfortunate people from different parts of the world, who would not normally get Krishna consciousness, and of course some of the Indians are here also who could have got the chance, but they might have got some Sahajya or Mayavad or any other thing. They were fortunate enough to get the direct process of Krishna consciousness, all because of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's intense desire for the Krishna conscious movement to be given to the conditioned souls. So now we want to take up his desires, his mission, try to fulfill them, try to put his dreams into shape, and we can only do that by his blessing. So we're praying at his lotus feet for his causeless mercy. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Ki. Satchidananda Thakur Bhaktivinoda Ki.
Jai Satchidananda!
Jai Satchidananda!
Jai
Satchidananda! Jai Satchidananda! That's why I was chanting Jai Satchidananda Kirta. I don't know if somebody thought I was inventing a new mantra or something.
But it was because Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted that they'll come and chant Jai Satchidananda, which is the name of Lord Chaitanya, the beloved son of Mother Sachi.
So we'll go to the Saravi Kunj, where Lord Nityananda also had his Namhata headquarters, and Bhaktivinoda re-established it there. That after, in the Krishna book, Bhagavatam has explained how Lord Krishna, after Indra rained torrential rains for 7 days, and Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, then Indra realized his mistake, and all the clouds went on strike saying, what are you doing? You're sending us against the Supreme Lord. We're going to be finished. So then Indra pulled back his clouds. And then Lord Krishna put down the Govardhan Hill after the Vrajavasis left from underneath it. And Indra came and offered his obeisances. At that time, there was a Surabhi cow who sprayed Krishna with milk, and an Aravata elephant sprayed Indra with water from the Kalindi. So after that, the Surabhi cow came here to Mayapur Dham. She resides here in this area. They said there's so many nice trees and the nice. This is called the Surabhi Kunj area, just a little bit south of here. And there's a history how there's this rishi called Markandeya Rishi. He got a benediction that he could live for 3 days of Brahma. And normally at the end of the day of Brahma, everyone perishes and goes back into the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. But he got the benediction he could stay alive for 3 days of Brahma. He wouldn't die by normal course, by old age or something. But what happens is that at that time, there's a Mahapralaya where the whole universe fills up with water. And there's a massive flood. So then, everything gets flooded and all living entities are swept away in this flood and killed. But somehow Markandeya Rishi, he's alive because he had this benediction. And he's being bounced around in the flood waters. And there's no food. I mean, he's alive, but there's nothing to eat. There's flood everywhere. He has, and he's getting very tired, and he's,
He's really suffering. I mean, his natural lifespan now is 3 days of Brahma abundant. That means he could die by accident or could die by starvation if he didn't eat. So he hadn't thought, he hadn't made all the plans. What's he going to do during the night of Brahma? What's he going to eat at that time? How's he going to survive? So this is just a flood leading up to that. And he was really suffering. And he was really thinking, you know, living a long time isn't a great break. And so somehow then at distance he saw like an island. And he somehow, he was able to get to this island. And there, this island was actually Godrum Dweep, this part of Navadvip Dav. That even in this Mahapalaya, Navadvip is not destroyed, it remains. So it was floating there somehow. And he got here to Godrum, and there he saw the Surabhi cow. And he begged the Surabhi Gopreda that, please give me some of your divine milk, because if I don't, I'm going to die. And he was praying and offering prayers, so the Surabhi cow very kindly gave him some milk. And by drinking the milk from the Surabhi cow, he could survive. Gauranga! 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 So, some of you have, you cannot normally see a Surabhi cow. You have to have divine vision. But maybe by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, some of you can have that divine vision and see the Surabhi cow. Vipramukhya Maharaj is saying, why not? Why not? You can never tell. That's why we're just hoping upon hope. We're all hankering. We're very greedy to get kripasiddhi. We're trying to follow the rules and regulations, although we might not be so expert at it. But we're hoping upon hope for the kripasiddhi, for the causeless mercy of the Guru and Gauranga, of the spiritual masters and Lord Chaitanya, by which we can get Krishna consciousness very quickly. So here's the land of mercy. This is the place to get the mercy. And we're going now to Surabhi Kunja. We'll take some of the dust there, because Lord Nityananda used to do kirtan there. And then from there we'll proceed on to the place where the devotees will be, where all you'll be staying. You can bathe there in the Jalangi River. If somebody wants to swim there from Surabhi Kunj, you could also do that, but it's about half a kilometer swim. Depends how energetic a swimmer you are. We'll proceed.
Yeah. Kirtan.
Kirtan, please. This is the land of kirtans.